The advice provided on hashtag GotMoney is general advice only. It has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Before acting on this advice, you should consider the appropriateness of the advice, having regard to your own objectives, financial situation and needs. We recommend you seek independent advice.
Got Money? Money mad and out of time? Listen to Ryan and Elizabeth on Got Money as they take money to task.
Hashtag Got Money on Joy 94.9 and Casey Radio 97.7.
Good morning, Mr. Malhotra.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I'm very well. In fact, it's not good morning anymore. It's good afternoon. We've had a time change. I'm great. Thank you. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Really interesting topic today. I want to introduce Mr. Anthony Ayoun out of the Sydney market, whose company is Afford Assist. Good morning or good afternoon, Anthony.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Let's reset our time.
I know.
We're all synchronized together like Mission Impossible. Ready, set, go.
Go. Hey, it's lovely to have you with us on the show. As you know, particularly here in the Australian market, there's a lot of talk around affordability, particularly for new home buyers. And Anthony, you've come up with a solution.
Yes. You know, when things get difficult in Australia, we tend to kind of put our hands over our ears and hope that somebody else does something about it or the problem goes away.
Yeah.
And the property industry, and as you know, Elizabeth, you've been a part of this for as long as you've been much younger.
Yes, much
younger. Because you've almost lived this. You've lived this, you know. Lived the industry. The changes are making it very difficult for people to get into the market. And there's a number of reasons. So we wanted to make it easier. We wanted to give first home buyers a leg in. And our solution, I think, does that very, very nicely.
So just to give people an idea too, for new home buyers just to get in the market, some of them are looking at having to come up with an excess of $50,000 to $60,000. Is that correct? Is that fair? Is that an accurate sum of money?
Yeah. So it's banks are saying, let's reduce our risk. So we want first home buyers to save roughly 10% of the purchase price.
Okay.
And home buyers are then going and saving some money, and while they're saving that money, property prices are moving. And that the other challenge parallel to this is their incomes have not been keeping pace with property movements. So it's almost like setting an unattainable finish line, and then they're getting a little bit frustrated and something, you know, well, I can't even be bothered saving because I can't even get there.
So they're defeated initially at the front end. They're not even giving it a go.
Yeah, and I think what I would like for us to bring to the table is any community leader, anybody's got a little bit of influence, like you're in the property industry, anybody who's actually got a little bit of skill, contribute to the solution. Why do we just sit on the sidelines and let somebody else do it? Because any ripple effect will make a difference. If you then help a first-time buyer, even one would make a difference. If we help a couple, it makes a difference. Banks are not doing that. Banks are taking a very conservative view, sitting on the sidelines and saying, these are the rules of entry, and if you don't make it, tough, because we're busy making money.
Yeah, and the other issue, and as you know, we do a lot in this space, is getting valuations on properties as well. So, you know, even if they were lucky enough to come up with the 10%, when it comes to that subject to finance, getting that 9 times out of 10, they have to come up with more money. So tell me a little bit about what your organisation is doing to get in front of this.
Okay. So what we basically did is come up with a very simple solution, and that is to address one of the main hurdles, and that being the deposit. So with our properties, we have spoken with developers and presented the concept to them where a portion of the purchase price, let's say that the 10%, is deferred into a loan directly between the buyer and the vendor.
Okay.
The balance of those monies to buy a property, obviously less than 90%, because you've got cash contributions and you've got government grants, is simply sourced through the traditional channels, predominantly non-bank lenders, and we are looking to open discussions with banks, but we think non-bank lenders will be more open to providing this type of first mortgage. So it's no different than going and getting a loan. In addition to getting a loan, ours simply adds the mechanism where that gap can be fulfilled through a solution directly between the buyer and the vendor.
So how would that borrowing show up? So if you're putting together a contract, yes, does the 10%, is it deferred in the contract? Is it mentioned in the contract? How are the lenders able to assess the purchasing?
It needs to be declared because out of duty of care, we're not a mortgage broker.
Mm.
So a mortgage broker is given a lead from our company and they, under their duty of care, must look at all the loans a buyer currently has or is about to have to determine their serviceability.
Yeah.
Once they've done that, they can then say, Mr. and Mrs. First Home Buyer, this is basically your budget. We further discount that budget by another 5%.
Wow.
Because we want to keep the buyers under a threshold and not put too much pressure, because there's so much excitement in wanting to get in the market. People tend to be overzealous and buy something they can't afford and they get themselves in financial trouble. So we'd rather err on the side of safety.
So you're being real, yeah, so that's what you're doing. You're being cautious.
We need to be, because we need to help them, because they don't know the implications of a purchase. In the first 2 years are very, very difficult. People don't get in the mindset of actually what is a loan and how to pay that money back. And that's why banks get cautious about it. But if you treat it the right way and actually nurse a buyer through the process, then you don't really need to be doing this for 5 years. It just takes common sense and somebody to coach you through it.
So let's go back to the purchase with Mr. and Mrs. First Time Home Buyer. The developer is lending them the 10% deposit. How does that work?
Well, yeah, what they're doing basically is deferring a portion of the purchase price. Let's do an example.
Yeah,
let's
please.
Let's supposing the single person, because some want to do this on their own more than anything else, they want to like to do it. Some want to do it couples as a team. And they simply get assessed and the number comes back, just for argument's sake, is $500,000.
Yeah.
The developer that we're working with, one of the best developers in Australia, and I think really good quality work, is called Impact Homes. Well, we're getting more added to our list of approved developers. We'll actually accept our agreement, called a DDA, Deferred Deposit Agreement, as the deposit.
Aha.
So $50,000 now has been receipted by the developer and he says, okay, you owe me this money. Let's come to terms on when you can pay this back. So in some cases, the amount is paid back over 5 or up to 10 years. And we're actually talking with one developer now, which is an affordable housing organisation that are happy to take it up to 15 years.
Wow, that's extraordinary. Because that really, that's the pressure, isn't it? When you've got a small personal loan with anyone, the interest rates can often be much greater than your regular home loan. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, that'll take them out of the market completely. However, our DDA, though, Elizabeth, has no application fees, no interest charges on the $50,000.
So, okay,
so the developer basically says, it's a promise, I want to help you get in the market, and I use that deliberately, the word help, because we're looking for more people to actually contribute a sense of social and actually be a part of the community. There is a serious problem. We need to help first home buyers. So the developer says, I'll do my bit. The property's $500,000. Give me this 10% over a period of time, and I will not charge you any interest on this $50,000.
Can I ask you a question there, if I just may step in for a second? Now, have you had this objection come up where people might have gone, but aren't we putting first-home buyers at risk and they should not be borrowing that money if they can't afford to save that money? Because I understand what you're doing and I think it's quite, to me personally, it sounds quite like a positive initiative. But I can just imagine that there'd be people who are advocates of responsible lending practices who would be going, well, doesn't this put first-home buyers at risk? How would you respond to that?
You know, I think it's a really important question. And a lot of the work around protecting our finance industry, we are not actually going against the grain at all. I don't believe we are. I think what's happened, though, is our landscape has changed incredibly over the last 30, 40 years. I bought my first home when I was a tradesman. I was on $70 a week, and I was able to put some money aside. And I remember my dad doing a handshake deal with the bank manager to buy his property, and the commitment towards both of those, either a tradesman's, it was so enormous that I wanted to keep my promise to the bank and pay the money. But as people have defaulted and so forth, the banks have put in more and more measures. These measures are partly to protect, but also the other part of these measures are actually now separating our society from those that have got capacity to build wealth, have a home, have a retirement, and those that cannot.
I agree with that.
I'm not neglecting in any sense. I think our banking system needs to be protected. I think if we can't, otherwise we are destroying the very thing that we need to actually build our livelihood. But, Ron, I think it's also fair to say that times change in every 10 or 15 years, and the cycles may actually become more frequent in the future. We need to revisit how do we make these things community inclusive. How do we get people involved rather than saying, this is a rule from 19 whenever? It's like, excuse me? Like, what is the rule today? How do we make this happen and be responsible so that first-time buyers can get into the market and we are helping them? Example, there was the 5% reduction. So in addition to the bank saying, yes, they can afford this, we do all the serviceability. We further discounted by 5%. So one of the lenders said to me, but Anthony, why do you need to do that? Because we've already assessed it. I said, no. I have lived real estate. I see the problems and I see the difficulties in the first 2 years. Although you've got your measures in place, I want to further discount it by 5% because I want them in the home or keep that home for 40 years.
Yeah. And the reality is that once people have bought their first home, you know, we have to believe that most people are going to be responsible. And a lot of the times when they have the responsibility, that would reinforce the responsibility cycle, self-responsibility cycle, because you're right. It's so easy to dismiss people and say, well, you know, they haven't been able to save a deposit, so they don't deserve to borrow money. But sometimes one of the best things we can do is to give them some foundational assistance. And then from there, we give them the opportunity, because, you know, you mentioned the word, you know, wealth creation, and it is so true. People who are not able to get into their first home sometimes will just give up on the whole exercise because they just feel so helpless that they haven't been able to get into their first home. So I think it's important work that you're doing there.
So thank you. May I expand on that?
Sure.
Now let's take a little bit further, and let's supposing we have people that have migrated to Australia. So let me give you this picture, if I may. A well-to-do couple from any country around the world, could be well-educated and whatever it is, and they've got good incomes. So our system says, irrespective of your history, irrespective of your common sense, irrespective of your education, irrespective of any of that, unless you fulfill these three steps, you're out of the game. But why should they be penalized? Why should they sell an asset from another country to have this asset? It's almost incorrect because we are not looking at the complete picture and giving people the opportunity. So I think this does help people get into home ownership. And may I suggest, this may sound a little bit too big picture, by allowing more people in is actually solving our housing problem. It's actually helping, and it's actually allowing developers to be able to build properties out in the suburbs, have communities in order. So there's, I think the implications for me are so huge.
Yeah, because you're really looking at it laterally, aren't you? You're saying, look, by doing this, we're actually keeping trades working, we're keeping land selling, and we're providing housing for people that normally wouldn't have the opportunity. And I guess the next question for me is, are these new homes? How does this get facilitated?
We don't want to limit it just to new homes, though, Elizabeth.
Okay.
So when we looked at, we want to deliver a solution. And if we're true to what we set out to do, then it should be available on new and established homes.
Okay.
So imagine a young couple that wanted to buy a property from either their parents or uncle or aunt. rather than have a promise, which the banks allow, by the way, so there's a promise, you know, just give them a gift and all of this stuff, and they close their eye to it. However, the responsibility still lies there. There's still an amount of money that needs to be paid back to somebody. So this agreement actually formalises that relationship, and if one of the partners was to separate, you don't want financial burdens on the person who loaned them the money or gave them a leg up. So this agreement allows those types of transactions on existing properties to happen. It does not have to be one of our approved properties.
So if I'm at home now and I'd like to get into the housing market, are there any restrictions on who can apply to you for this? Do I have to be a first home buyer? Can it just be it does? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, look, I believe there's enough support mechanisms for investors. There are so many companies offering support for investors. I mean, you can put it in Google in and everybody would.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that.
Now we move on to the next level. What about general real estate? Of course, there's 60,000, if not more, helping, you know, general. Who's helping the first-time buyer? So we want to be quite specific in saying this segment of the market is neglected and there need to be more of us. So we're not the only ones. I know there's other organisations that are offering either equity solutions.
Yeah.
I know the Victorian government is offering some type of equity solution. I know some affordable housing companies are using that methodology or that framework. And there are others that are using rent to buy. Ours is none of those. We believe the owner, the person buying the property, should have 100% equity, 100% responsibility, not sharing the problem or the equities 5 years down the track. I personally don't like that idea. I know they're good for some persons in the market. Our program is 100% equity. There is no sharing of the equity at some given point in time.
That's great. That's really great.
I like that as well. I think that, to me, that's preferable because sometimes I see older clients that are planning for their retirement and they've had to put up their equity for their kids. And, you know, I always feel that they're compromising their retirement. And I also wonder sometimes if the kids are going to appreciate that because they're not really getting the opportunity to be responsible for their own finances. So I personally, I think, Anthony, I'm very much in favour of what you're doing as well.
Thank you, Juan. I really appreciate it. It's a sincere effort. To even if we get 1,000, our goal is 1,000 a year, 1,000 people into homes, I think we've done a significant thing. So right now the interest toward Afford Assist has been growing week on week. We're getting developers come to us. In the early piece, can you imagine, they were saying, this is nonsense, don't be ridiculous, just give me a standard listing agreement. But when they actually pause to listen, they realise, you know what, the problem is real. Let me give you a couple of properties. So we're not looking to be project marketers. We're not looking to take over entire development. Developers that want to be part of this program and listening to your program can give us one property out of the entire development, can give us two or three out of the entire development. We're happy to accommodate those style of listings.
So really, it's just a developer that wants to get on board, that can see what you're doing is socially responsible. They want to participate in that.
Yes.
And they come to you and they say, look, Anthony, we've got 20 units here. We'd like you to take two.
Correct.
Then the process for you is, so if I'm a buyer sitting at home right now, I would find Afford Assist and then make application to you directly?
Correct, yes.
Okay, that sounds extraordinary. Tell me how they pay back this $50,000 circa, and is it up to 10 years and do they get a personal loan for that? How does that work?
Yes, so the DDA is a personal loan.
Okay.
So this proprietary agreement that we've created for our company specifically, it has protection mechanisms for the buyer, and, of course, protection mechanisms for the vendor. Because as you imagine, I can imagine both you and I thinking, oh, I can see some problems here.
Yeah.
And I think we've addressed them. Whatever they are, I think we've addressed them. Because we want this to work for the vendor, and we also want this to work for the buyer, and we need to make sure the interests of both are protected. This personal loan, the terms can be determined at the time of the application. Whether the applicant is strong, we will then make it 5 years. If they need a little bit more time, we may extend it out. Like one affordable housing company, like I mentioned earlier, may even allow more than 10 years.
Oh, so that's extraordinary. So what you're doing is you're assessing each client on their merits and then providing them with the right solution.
Correct. This is not, there's no fixed for this because every person, we get some applicants that have got 35, 40 grand.
Okay.
So they only need 3%.
Ah, so you'll borrow that 3%. The developer will do a loan to, oh, that's great. So really, that's how it gets determined.
Correct. So the developer in this example may say, you know what, the shortfall is 3% or the valuation came in just a little bit kind of, you know, low, so it needs to be 4%. So the DDA may only be for $20,000 and that's payable over 5 years.
And that's, you know what, that doesn't sound like a stress, $20,000 over 5 years, does it? I mean, that sounds like it's something that anyone can manage, or am I just being ridiculous?
That the amounts have to be stress tested.
Ah, okay.
Keep in mind, the mortgage broker must provide us a serviceability statement.
Okay.
So the amounts are predetermined, the budgets are predetermined, and then we stay 5% under that budget, is in terms of our own threshold, and the buyer can even go lower than that should they want to. But all the amounts have to be out of duty of care. Mortgage, we're not a mortgage broker, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
We're the program managers. We provide the governance. That also means any agent can list with us. People that want to make their properties. They, you might know a developer with 20 properties in Melbourne. Technically, you could be a part of the program and bring your 20 properties to the program.
You know, I know a number of developers now that are sitting on apartment stock, and it sounds to me like this would be another avenue for them to offer out their apartments to the first-time home buyer market. Tell me about your buyers. Are you getting a lot of traction in the space right now? Are they coming towards you?
It is phenomenal, and I had to turn the advertising off.
We're doing a
radio chat, but I had to turn it off because as we kind of confirming some of the processes and getting some developers on board, the response was phenomenal. People were saying, "Is this too good to be true? What's the catch? What's going on?" And I said, "There's absolutely no catch."
How do you have enough staff around Australia to help you manage this? Because that would be another thing as well.
No, we definitely do not. We're early in putting the team together. We are super keen to take on some people that have got like-minded, people that care about people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. I've always liked that about you, though, Anthony. That's something. You're a great person when it comes to caring for the needs of others, and you're always going to look for that in people that you work with.
Yes, so we're not looking for project marketers. We're not looking for that shiny investment property person, you know, telling us all the high commissions you can get from developers. I'm sorry, but that's not applicable in our case. We're looking for people with heart. We're looking for people who say, okay, let me walk you through this process. Because our commission structure, when we do list a property, is one of the lowest flat fees in Australia.
See, that's commendable in itself because you could milk this and you're just not. And sorry for my languaging here too because Anthony and I work in the property space, so we're going to be using a language that just indicates that we kind of know, we do this all the time. Hey, Anthony, just for our listeners that are interested in getting into this to certainly reach out to you for their first home, how do they get in touch with you?
You can visit our website, affordassist.com. We've also got a Facebook page. They can just submit their inquiry. We'll call them, explain the program. This is no pressure at all. We've got mortgage brokers in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland. We're getting more around Australia. We have in South Australia that can help them.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I love what you're doing. I really want to thank you for joining us on our show this afternoon. You've been amazing. And thank you for what you're doing for the affordable housing space.
Yeah, it's always, even for me, it's always inspiring to see, you know, people that see a need in the marketplace. And I think it's something that's an unaddressed issue. So good on you for coming up with something there, Anthony. And I think regardless of the risks, as long as there is a And I only say this because I work in the advice industry, and we always have to tell clients that there's always risk in every transaction. As long as you're aware of the risks and you have processes to manage that risk, then it's a personal call to make, of course.
Yeah, look, I really appreciate your support in this. Something needs to happen, Ron. Something needs to happen because if I may, can I take another 30 seconds?
Yeah, Elizabeth? Please. Absolutely. Of course you can.
Some time ago, we were seeing reports of undersupply of properties, Now, this some time ago was 15 years ago, and it was ignored and ignored and ignored. And today, everybody's paying the price for this, everybody, because it was ignored and it wasn't managed. Today, first home buyers, again, take your hands off your ears and listen to their cries. There is a serious problem here. If we don't help them in 15 years from today, what would our landscape be look like? Economy, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, Anthony. I really do. Thank you for joining us. To our listeners, have a great weekend. If you miss any of our shows, please go to our podcast series through Joy. And have a great week, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks for your time, Anthony.